that you're here in person, and so thankful for those of you who are watching online. And we're grateful for good news about the virus in general. Because we think some people in our midst have not been vaccinated yet, we're still wearing our masks a little bit longer. But we're grateful that things are opening up and doing better. But we're praying for the folks in India who are really struggling right now. So the world is not out of the woods yet, but we're grateful for the progress that has been made, and we give thanks this morning. As we begin, we want to say thanks to God, and we want to just refocus ourselves on the Lord and on all that he's done for us. So let's say the Lord's Prayer together as we begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we give thanks for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. We give thanks for your truth and for your power and for your holiness as well. As we come into your presence today, Lord, we ask that you'll help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Speak into our lives, Lord, words that we need to hear, thoughts that we need to hold on to. And help us as we're praying and singing and responding and hearing your word, that in every way that we would respond in ways that glorify you and please you. And Father, help us as we worship to enjoy your presence. And we ask these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. This time we'll sing. This is the last Sunday of the Easter season, so we're going to sing one more classic Easter hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Triumphs high.
this time, we do want to go to prayer, and so Joy is going to come to lead us. We pray for our world. We pray for those in our midst who need the Lord's touch. Please pray for Shirley Johnson. She's in the hospital today, and things are quite serious for Shirley. So please keep her and her family in prayer today. And pray for our own discipleship and for our witness in our world. So Joy, if you'd lead us.
Our dear Lord, we give thanks for this day of life that you've given to each one of us. And we pray that you will be with us throughout the remainder of the season and this time of uncertainty as far as health and viruses. And just right now, Lord, we concentrate on Shirley. We pray that you will be with her, give her strength, be with the doctors and the medical people that are caring for her. Give them wisdom, give them direction. And I pray, dear God, that they will pay attention to your leading. I pray that you will eliminate any fear or any doubt that Shirley has. And dear God, bless her. And may she feel the power of your healing throughout her body, Lord, and give her spiritual peace. And Father, I pray that your will be done in her life and her care. I pray for others, Lord, that are suffering physically. Bless them, Lord. Wrap your arms around them that they may feel your loving care and your support and your peace. And Father, we pray for all the caregivers. It takes a special person, dear Father, to do what many of these individuals are doing, and we give thanks. We pray that you will be with them and they will feel your presence also. Be with each person here listening or watching this service. Father, I pray that you will give us insight into those truths that you would have us to be aware of. Dear God, we know that we're told that you are love. And may we show that love to others, dear God. And may we look at one another through the eyes of Jesus. And Father, I pray that we will be open and receptive to your leading and your guidance, and that we will be in tune to the needs of others. And we know that you equip us. You give us the words to say, and you give us the prayers to say. Father, I pray that you will be with all those who are listening to the message this day that our pastor brings us. May your Holy Spirit speak through him. And dear Father, may it make an impression on each one of us. And I pray that when we leave here, we will go out into the world sharing Jesus. And Father, we give thanks for your forgiveness. We give thanks for your leading. You are a just God. You care for each and every one of us as if there were only one of us. Be with our pastor and his family. Keep them safe. And dear Father, I pray that you will be with each and every home that's represented this day in this service. May our homes be havens of peace where we put your son at the head of our families. Be with this church, Father, as we're seeking to raise the money for the HVAC system. I pray that each one of us will give as you lead. And Father, we give thanks that you bless us. You provide for all of our needs. You are Jehovah Jireh. Father, be with each and every one of us. Give us a morsel of the sermon this day to take with us. And it's in your son's holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, this time, let's turn our attention to God's word. We'll be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and beginning of verse 44. So let's stand in honor of God's word. As Joy mentioned, normally we'd receive the offering at this time, but you can give as you go. We've raised about $2,500 now toward our goal of $5,950. So if you've contributed already, thank you for that. If you can still give more, we're not quite halfway there to our goal, but we appreciate your stewardship. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Open your heart to God's word. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I'm sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. Amen. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. And this is God's word. You can be seated. So we know that Jesus ministered. We know that Jesus called his disciples to follow him. In other words, to live in the way that he lived. Jesus was arrested and sentenced to death as a threat to the empire, and everyone saw it and everyone was devastated. But then we know that on the third day, Jesus arose from the grave, and then Jesus began to appear to his disciples. And that's one of the things we're witnessing here in this passage. But what would happen next? Imagine if you were the disciples in this situation. Could you even begin to imagine what would happen next? How was life going to carry on? How would it move forward? Was Jesus just going to continue appearing like this indefinitely? Would they always just be afraid? What did it all mean? Well, Jesus begins to answer all these questions, but he is telling them things that they did not imagine that they would hear. They're seeing things they didn't think that they would. Now, I know that it means so much to all of us that there's a consistency in God's character, right? The same yesterday, today, and forever. But sometimes we mistakenly tell ourselves that that means that life is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it's not. It doesn't mean that life will always unfold exactly the way that we think it will, just because there is a consistency in God. And it also doesn't mean that we've already learned all that there is to know about God. So while God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we also know that his mercies are new every morning, the word tells us, and we don't know all there is to know about God yet. So occasionally, he may surprise us with exactly what happens and what he does. It can depend on how long you've been on this journey, and it can depend on what you've been looking for from God, because if we've trained ourselves to only look for certain things and say that this is God in my life and this isn't, well, we may still have to learn how God is using other things and other experiences and revealing other aspects of himself to us. Now, I'll say this. It was possible for people to have been more clued in than they were to how Jesus would come and the things that he was going to do. And they could have understood a little bit better what Jesus was doing now because he had tried to explain it to them several times. Amen? And they could have been catching a glimpse of how this might fit into his long-range plan if they had really been applying themselves to the scriptures across the years. But they were living their lives. They were caught up in the moment. Jesus was here with them, and so it was all about the right now. So now, here at this crucial moment, Jesus took the time. He took the disciples to the scriptures. He gave them ears to hear, and he gave them eyes to see God's unfolding plan. Let's pick it back up at verse 45. It says, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." So folks, we do need to use our minds in our faith, right? And we do need to let God lead our minds. "And he said to them, 'Thus it is written,'" that means this is in the scriptures, "'that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. And see, I'm sending upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." So, Jesus is the Messiah, clearly, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises of God. And that unfolding would mean new developments, new things happening. And these new developments would lead to very good things. That's what Jesus is saying. Power from on high to live in new ways. It hasn't just been about fulfillment. It's not just about God going, "Yeah, told you that was going to happen." It's about God going to all this trouble so lives could be changed. Amen? It's so that the love and the power of God could flow into these fragile human beings, even at this very difficult moment in their lives. But before all this could happen for the disciples, something had to happen for Jesus. Something very specific, and something that we often overlook when we think about Jesus coming into our world. So, now we've been going through a gut-wrenching season of upheaval and change, have we not? Now, we haven't always handled it with grace as a nation, or even all Christians. And now it looks like the end may finally be in sight. Praise God. But this, too, is going to mean new things. So we, too, should consider tarrying and waiting for power from on high. We should let God lead. We shouldn't just go stir crazy and decide that waiting is too uncomfortable and we can't do it. Waiting until God leads is good. It's a great way to live. But sometimes the waiting isn't just about what we do. Many times it's about what God does or what God is already doing, and we discover that and we learn how to lean into it and make the most of it in our lives. When we think about Jesus and we think about his interaction with us human beings, we make a very big deal about when he first came into our world, right? We call that Christmas. And then we have the season of Advent beforehand to prepare for it and remind us that he's coming again. Now we call that whole move of God for Jesus to come into our world, we call that the incarnation, the miracle of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Powerful, wonderful thing. We've written some of the most beautiful songs that human beings have written to celebrate the arrival of this miracle. And Jesus was sanctifying the human form and the human experience by his entering our world as a baby. And we talk at length about his death. We spend a whole season on it. We call it Lent. We talk about his resurrection. We're still in the midst of doing that in the season that we call Easter. And we talk a lot about his return, and we say that it's coming soon. But so often we jump over this one detail. Are you guessing what it is? We jump over this very important piece that helps it all to fit together. This piece that helps us make sense of here and now. Two simple words. I think it's on the next slide. One more, there we go. Let's say it together. Jesus ascended. One more time. Jesus ascended. So, boom, there it is. Now that's what you need to remember when you can't remember anything else. Remember that Jesus ascended. Jesus is not still in the grave, amen. Jesus is not still doing post-resurrection appearances to his disciples. Things are different now because something specific happened. Let's pick it up again in verse 50. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. Whoops, our cables didn't work today. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't going to do that. But it's amazing that they have this experience of Jesus blessing them. The very last thing he does is bless them. And then they see him carried off into heaven. His leaving was as glorious as his arrival was humble. And it's a foretaste of what his return will be like. There's a guy on YouTube that talks about how to work on your own car, and I watch the channel every now and then. I've figured out along the way that he's a Christian. The little car in his logo has a sign of the fish on it. And at the end he says, "May the Lord bless you and keep you every time." But then he was talking, somehow it got onto, a car was making a sound like a UFO. And he said, "But the only thing I think that's ever going to descend from the skies is one thing." And he didn't actually say, but I knew what he meant. He was talking about Jesus. And the reason we believe firmly that that's how he's going to return is there's so many passages talking about the Son of Man arriving in that way. But it also is because of how he was taken away from us. He was taken up into heaven, he ascended, and now he is not here physically on earth. But it's one little detail that we often forget. Jesus isn't stuck in limbo. We don't have to be wondering how things are going to go. Jesus has ascended. And right now, every enemy is being placed under his feet. That's what's going on in the continuing unfolding of history. And two more important words come to mind, and they are this. Let's say them together. Jesus reigns. Amen? It's not just a slogan or a bumper sticker. We don't have to look to a temporary elected official. We don't have to be ruled by a king here on earth because Jesus reigns. Paul reminds us of the full extent. One place he does that is over in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning of verse 15. "I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and here's the big and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." That's the ascension. far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's good stuff, friends. Love the book of Ephesians. I was trying to translate it from the Greek. I was just looking for some punctuation to come along here. Paul just goes on and on and on and on. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Jesus living, ascended, reigning, ruling, and bringing everything together in the Father's timing. That's how we can live. And that's how we can measure time day to day. A longtime friend of mine had been struggling in his job, a grueling situation. Thankful to have employment, he was, but just an unpleasant work environment in several ways, and job security was very uncertain. But recently, boom, a totally different kind of opportunity opened up for him, and he got the job. Thanks be to God. The kind of job he's wanted for a long, long time. I congratulated him recently, and he wrote back to me. He said, "Thanks, all in the Lord's time." But of course, I thought it should have happened a long time ago, right? That's how it goes, right? We want God's timing to be right now. But in the Lord's time, when we hang in there and we keep leaning and we're patient and we wait, good things happen. Amen? They really, really do. It helps so much if we can trust God's timing. We waste so much energy thinking we know better. It helps us to trust when we remember that Jesus has ascended. And I just, maybe this seems like such a minuscule thing for you, and you're like, why are you making such a big deal? It is a big deal that Jesus ascended. And that reminds us that it's not in flux. That it may not work out. Jesus has ascended and his plan is unfolding. So you say your planet's under attack from a bug you can barely see under a microscope, eh? You say some friends are failing in their health. You say gas prices are high. Relationships are tougher than ever. Your political leaders are disappointing you right and left. And even your sports teams can't pull it all together. How did the Cubs lose to the Tigers yesterday? I just don't even know. If that's your situation, I can relate. But Jesus ascended, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus reigns. And that means whatever you're facing, whatever you're concerned about, whatever grueling circumstance you're enduring right now, you can have hope. Amen? Jesus is present, and Jesus is working through the world, and Jesus is above all authority that we deal with. And so we say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." But in the meantime, we remember Jesus has ascended. Amen? Jesus reigns. Amen? Above all and everybody else, praise his holy name. Let's pray. Father, we are a people who need your resurrection power today. Lord, continue to bring us back to life. Help us to breathe in deeply the wonders of your love and your power and the mystery, Lord, of how you are unfolding it all. But let us never be in doubt, Lord. Or when we do sometimes doubt, let us turn in remembrance to you. And Father, I pray this morning for the one who has been struggling the most, the one who doesn't see how it's going to come together. Father, remind them this morning that Jesus ascended. Father, remind them this morning that Jesus reigns. Remind them that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has even seated us with him in the heavenly realms. And Lord, our destiny is with you. And you're going to return, and you're going to set all things right in the world. And in the meantime, you're going to work out your will, and we can trust you this morning. I pray that that will ring deeply in the mind and the heart of the one who needs you most today. And for all of us, Lord, may it just awaken us to the depth of your grace and the unfolding of your power, that we would remember humbly to continue to follow you and to trust you as you're leading us toward your eternal glory. Thank you for that. We cling to it in this moment, Lord. And we pray all of this in Jesus' very powerful name. And everyone said, let's stand together. God is good. Let's declare our faith together one more time. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he arose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go today in the blessing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is ascended, who reigns, and who is working out his will for you, working all things together for good. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.